Cool.
And we're live. Episode 5, DeQuisto Series Podcast. We're back. We got Big Kurt.
What's up?
We got the old man.
The old man.
And myself.
the old man.
Yeah, so, I mean, in lieu of late November, we're gonna talk some buck stories. Some deer hit the ground recently. So,
yeah.
I think every one of us is on the board now.
Mm-hmm.
We got some holiday specials. We got some buck stories. We're going to talk some late November tactics, kind of transitioning into late season. You know, that hard chase and then post rut. So we'll do some of that. But
yeah,
I guess I'll kick it off. If you haven't had a chance, check out the website www.lonewolfcustomgear.com. We got some awesome deals going on for Black Friday, the week leading up to, and Cyber Monday. We got percentages off on pretty much all the products on there, and we got a really good special for the combo. So we got 50 combos available, and for those 50 combos, combo being stand and sticks, if you purchase a combo, you get a free undercover game camera.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that, I mean...
Who authorized this?
Yeah.
Apparently I threw it out there, and then Andre's like, yeah, let's do it, and then Cody was stressing out, so then we forced him to say it.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the footage on those cameras is incredible, and the audio, too, which some people might, like, overlook that, but it's cool to hear all that when you watch the video.
There's actually been a lot of guys getting their kill on the actual footage of those, setting them up, so it's pretty cool.
Really cool.
Using it as an action camera.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a GoPro to your head.
When I shot my buck, I had my camera not far from there, and I have my walk it up celebration on the trail camera.
Cool.
So, I've seen that one.
Kind of neat. But yeah, that's a good deal. So that'll run until
the big deal with the camera, that's for 50 sets. So we have 50 available. So while supplies last, so if you were contemplating getting a set, a hang on and sticks, they are in stock now, which is finally good news. So they're in stock, they'll ship, and you'll also get a camera with them too. So, and that's on top of the combo 50 code. So you still save you get that savings for getting the combo. This is just an extra special to get some cameras out there and see how you guys like them. So
for sure, cool, man. Well, man, number 5. So we're actually chipping away. We're getting halfway there to the double digits, and then we can kind of look like we know what we're doing with all this stuff. But yeah, we talked the last episode. I thought was a ton of fun talking and just rut tactics, and had a lot of good feedback and comments on that episode. So it's cool to see that like we actually did all have success between that episode and now this episode. What's so funny?
I'm already getting shit from people that are messaging me like, oh yeah, November's not such a bad time, is it? Like,
well,
you know, I mean, they're, you know, they seen your buck, they seen
pretty
dad's
good this
buck
year.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, like a little better than October, ain't it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Well, people don't know too. Like you've mentioned it before, that's like, well, we are seeing deer in October.
October was a phenomenal month this year.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It's just one of those, you know.
It's just got to all line up to happen to where you come out successful. I mean, you can be on them. You can have a really big mature buck at 15 yards and never be able to shoot them, you know.
Oh, dude, in my November has been a nightmare. I mean, good seeing stuff, but it's the same stuff that always happens in November.
You've had a rough season, I feel like, from just talking to you. But then people are going to see the buck you shot and be like, rough season, my ass, you know. But
yeah, it's one of those.
Sometimes you just can't, you just stand up, you get run, and then you trip again. And it's like you can't just.
And then somebody kicks you and you're trying to get up.
Yeah. I mean, that is hunting. That's why it's so awesome when you come out successful.
And then,
especially
then
the
guy
buck
rubs it in on a text message, right?
Yeah, is that what happened? Well, so Andre, you killed first.
So, I did? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, first, before we get into buck stories, I just want to like give a big thank you. We got to do this.
Yes.
Anyone that bought a stand and sticks and used it and had success and sent over those success photos with the stand and the picture and just all the support, we really appreciate it. And just had to say a big thank you for that. Like, I got a lot of messages from people saying it changed the way they tackle their hunts and kind of took the – oh, man, that's a lot of work to go in and hang a stand just to hunt one spot one time. I think it took a lot of that, overwhelming sense of that's a ton of work to do in the dark or whatever. I think
we really appreciate those pictures, too. So
yeah, that's awesome, man. We encourage everybody to kind of reach out to us and share the success and also feedback, too. I mean, if you got feedback on your stand and how, you know, you think it might be better, or some things we could look at, like we're always open to hear that. That's a big way that Lone Wolf was built from back in the day. It was just, mm-hmm. Customer feedback. I mean, we design stuff, and even I think we can both agree that beating the stand, as much as we've beat it now, even more, we're making changes.
Well,
so I mean, you always change. You're always making, adapting, and
I'm doing a lot of customer service calls now, and I want to thank these guys too. These guys are very understanding and very. These are some pretty serious hunters,
mm-hmm.
and they've come up with some really nifty ways of packing, a little different than what we're doing.
Yeah,
some modifications. We're listening. We're making some changes. And you'll see by the ATA show, there'll be some minor changes that you'll be able to get for your stand and sticks also that will fit right in that model. So
right. Even people just send in pictures of, like, hey, thanks, man, I shot a really big doe, and have, a real big doe that they shot with the stand in the picture. For a lot of people, that's, some people are just meat hunters, and then other people setting their personal best for bucks, and basically just talking about how it changes the way they tackle strategies of it just being a more streamlined platform to get in there and get after it. So it's pretty cool to see that and get those messages and know that it's actually like making a difference in how people hunt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So buck stories. Andre, you set the flag in the ground first and had to show us how it was done.
All right. So this rut deal, this is a buck that's been on a property and has not been on our lower side of our property the entire year. So like we talked about before, Cody was hunting that deer pretty heavy on the north side. And one day he just happened to say, as a matter of fact, it was the day before. He says, I think that deer is on this side of the road. So it was about that time, So I drop into an area, put up a stand, and some things have changed on there. Normally they take the long way around. Now they're starting to cut across a ravine, making it easier. So all the deer I seen that morning were and some decent bucks. We're busting down low, and I was kind of out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they all went through shagging a doe. And a little bit later, coming off the side of the hill, comes this pig. I actually thought it was a different deer I was after.
Oh, really?
Come down the side, and at about a 15-yard shot. But once I got it down, I noticed it was that deer. And just like you said, the thing is, it's never been on that side of the road. So
now
it's time. They're traveling, moving, not in their normal patterns.
A perfect November example about how what guys are hoping for and what guys aren't hoping for.
Right, yeah.
I had a deer over here that I was, really trying to hone in on, and in my mentality, oh man, November's coming, he's going to leave. Guy on the other side of the road, oh man, November's coming, something's going to show up. And I mean, it's the way the cookie crumbles. But
It is a good and a bad thing. I'm a little of both that guy. Like I hope it's cool because it's like the mystery of the rut we talked about in the last episode. Yeah. Like a brute can just show up that you're like, where the hell did this dude come from? I don't have any, No history with him, no trail cam pictures, nothing. But so you shot that deer at 15 yards?
Yeah. So it's all self-filmed, got it on video, got the kill, got him running by the stand and falling.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a dandy deer, but we have a ton of video, ton of photos, and none of them down, And the crow flies, it might be 3/4 of a mile, but sometimes these deer just go, in a certain area, and they head the opposite way, and you never see them. But he was definitely out starting to sniff around, looking for does, and made a mistake of traveling on the wrong side of the road.
So you watched him fall and everything right in front of you? That's awesome.
You can hear the audio of him taking his last gasp.
Really? Wow. That's crazy. And he's a big buck. I just went out and saw him in the garage and, obviously seen all the photos. And, if you had to put a... Well, I guess we don't have to put a number on him, but he's a big boy, like huge beams.
No, we could put a number on him. I already put a tape to him.
Did you?
He's 204 3/4.
Holy
shit. He's
got
30.5-inch main beam, 31-inch main beam, and like 15 inches of non-typical. So,
damn, 30-inch beams, man. That's a big
there's
boy.
Just imagine that, all that extra inches of just the beams. And he's got decent mass, too. So, again, nice buck. Not even the targeted deer, but that's your rut buck.
You'll take that one.
Yeah, I'll take it anytime.
You can't pass a deer like that. I don't know anybody. I mean, maybe you would in a certain circumstance, but I sure as hell won't. No?
I've done it once.
Yeah? A 200-incher?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was forced to do it.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Maybe we'll get into that a different time.
I don't want to talk about that again.
There's
a tear coming out.
There's a tear coming out.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Quick story, but I guess That's all there is to it. Huh?
Those are November stories, man. Oh, shit, I was sitting there.
I mean, they're not as...
So, I mean, I probably, down in that draw there, I think a doe that was one of those first does that came in to eat was on a property. They all were just piling. Mm-hmm. So I bumped them at dark on the way in. The doe was probably bedded in there. They all kind of dispersed a little bit. She came through, and then all of a sudden it was just buck after buck after buck just filing through. And they normally come up in the logging road we have there.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason this year, a trail developed that's across a treacherous little ditch, but it is a shorter point from point A to point B.
Yeah.
So now that setup, too, has got to be all changed up. It's got to be, because you'll sit there and you'll watch this go on now forever mm-hmm. in that spot. So, but it's a, you know, talk about those pinch points. When I say a pinch point, this is a, what is it, 150-yard bottleneck. So they can get through all there, but over the years of hunting in there, whatever stand you sit in, you can see them just kind of going right through that point at some point.
Yeah,
So.
What date was this?
Was it the first, I think, November?
No, it was the day after we recorded the last episode, yeah, so it would have been.
I think it was the first.
It was the first. It was? Yeah, because it was
one of the first couple days, because I remember, you know, a lot of bucks dropped that day.
Well, what was funny is, like,
everybody's seen bucks. And
Dude, that day.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb. And, you know, I mean, I'd say I keep my finger on the pulse at least a little bit through all the pro staff guys and everybody. November 1st this year was the hottest day of this year by far.
Yeah.
I mean, I got messages in the stand of five people killing.
All local guys here, too. Yeah. Must have been a hot.
And right Austin. Here. Austin dropped his
Chandler.
Buck.
Chandler killed
was
a.
That the, was that the that day, night been, before?
It was within a few days of that.
Oh man! I thought it was that day for
so
sure.
So it was close to the last week, October.
Well,
no, yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, but you're in there.
It was a perfect storm. I mean, November 1st was a cold.
Well, we had the
clear,
change in weather dropped.
Day.
We had snow right around Halloween.
Oh, that was nice.
And then I saw so much buck activity. I went out on Halloween night, and it was
throughout the Midwest.
It was nuts.
It was just wild.
So yeah, I forgot that because you were giving me shit about wanting to get the podcast done when you guys wanted to hunt. So I'm like, well, Andre hates me. And then you guys ran out to hunt. Like, literally, we recorded the podcast, got done. I'm packing shit up. You guys are dressed. As I'm backing out, you guys are running to the stand. Cody was running to hang a stand.
Yeah.
And I did, like, a little Instagram story on the working class page. And I was like, hey, how fast can you get up in a stand? You're like, fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, how fast? And you're like, ready to hunt and kill something in 6 minutes. And I got a ton of messages on people like, on a future podcast, you got to have him break that down. So we don't have to do it now, but that's an episode that we got to cover.
Actually, man.
Well, it's not that tough when you only got two sticks.
Well, I've
right,
been,
yeah, and people were surprised to see that
I've
you
been
made
taking,
that comment.
Yeah, I've been taking that. Man, I got a lot of cool little definitely things that just developed this season from trying to get it more streamlined. And now even messing with that new ambush platform, like there's a...
We can talk about the haters too now because
there's a
going to be filed, so... We don't have to tell about it, but it's coming. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess this is a good transition. Yeah. I mean, we
I'm
can,
warning as we go through the
so,
show right now.
You know, I mean, I hunt low. I mean, I think I went through a period where I was trying to get a little higher than I think I always needed to. But I'm weird in my head, and I see situations in a tree that I want to hit. If there's a fork that's 30 feet up, and I tell myself, like, I need to be in that fork for some fucking reason, I'm in that fork. Like,
yeah.
Do I need to be? No, but, nice but now... But now I just in the last 3 years, 4 years, hunting super low, and I've always only taken two full length sticks and a couple screw ins, and I can gap them very far and I can get high if I need to. But now I'm just my money zone. If I look at when I've always killed the deer, though, no matter how high I've been, what the setup has been, it's been in between. Most of the time, 8 to 12 feet, like just you know, not super high,
they
whatever.
They just don't know what's at that height. It seems
so.
Like.
Yeah,
right on through you.
So I'm always a two stick guy, right?
Yeah.
Now I got these. We got the compact sticks. We got the fulls. Well, we've been working on an eighter, right? So this is I don't know. Do we want to like talk about it or just talk that we have an eighter?
It's coming.
Let's tease it and then we'll get into detail later.
It is slicker than shit. You can climb with it just like it's one an
you
additional
are not,
step.
Yeah, you are not going to have to
up and down in the dark like nothing.
Worry about this thing on your bottom stick only. You can use it on every stick.
It's nice.
So now I'm taking two of these compact sticks, these little tiny lightweight ones, and I'm only running two. because I got the 8ers on both of them, and I'm getting like 12, 13 feet if I need to. Otherwise, I'm 11, whatever.
Yeah.
But so, yes, but using those 8ers, whether you're running full sticks, compact, that is going to save so much time because it's less belts. Yeah. It's less belts you're messing with. It's less weight for sticks.
For sure.
So
I was running a 4-pack of minis with 2 8ers, and I'd say 90% of the time my setups were only 3 sticks. I'd leave one on the ground, but I'd have that extra one in case you wanted it.
Yeah. So I want to get into because it kind of goes into your success story this season, just from a couple weeks ago when you made I don't know if you made a post or what you did, but you said something you used 2 sticks. So I saw a lot of comments. People are wanting to know what 8er you use and all that, but I've shed hunted out here with you guys, and there's one stand set up I remember that you had just like one. I don't know if it's one you leave up, but I remember being like, "Oh shit, that's low."
Bump your head on it.
It was low. It was really low.
Yeah, it was. Very
and you're
low.
Like, "Well, you didn't see it until you were pretty much shot, did you?" And I'm like, "Well, that's a good point because I've always been the guy to do like what you just said. Oh, there's the split. I want to get up there, and that's where I'm going for. I'm a 4-stick guy, and I'm trying to change." How I'm routed. I'm no, 4 sticks
them,
no matter
find
what.
Find them forks in that cover just a little lower.
And that's where, like, my process is, okay, every time I'm picking out a tree or when I find a spot, there's a right tree. So, I mean, sometimes that right tree has a low fork. Sometimes it's got a high fork.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you only got – that's what I believe. I believe there's a right tree. When you start trying to look for a tree that has the structure you want, then you're out of the fucking game. So there's a right tree. Then if you need to hit that fork, you know, you don't, whatever. But if you're going low, but over the course of the years, and I think this is what you think too, Dad, but, you know, deer associate danger with certain areas. I think they're looking at the ground. They're looking for coyotes. There's natural predators. There's a lot of danger on the ground. And they've also become accustomed to looking high in trees. For some reason, that sight level just above the ground, like danger, but not quite to where like I'm looking up and skylining things.
Yeah,
is the place to be,
the sweet spot.
700,000 hunters in the trees too, right. A little bit, but
it's the
cover of the canopy, I guess. If you
you're not just looking
the forest. If you bring it down, you got all cover behind you. You bring it up a little bit, you got skyline and open.
Yeah.
And there's camos for that, and there's all sorts of different ways to skin a cat. But I do know that a lot of people get unnecessarily high. 2 sticks, everybody, they're scared to try it.
Yeah.
But there's people that I've talked into it that I personally get messages from. They're like, oh, my God, dude, I hunted on a 1 stick today, and it was the best hunt I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, that's now, interesting.
You don't use a head nut, huh?
No, I don't. And I used to when I was coming up because he always used it.
Use a what?
Head net.
Head net over your eyes. You
just like a face mask or whatever?
No,
over the eyes, though. It's got to be over the eyes. Yeah. Your eyeballs ain't showing.
Yeah.
You get away with murder, though.
See, what? And I need to really think about that a little more.
I think that is in his head.
No.
I swear to you, see the whites of your eyes, man.
Oh, they do.
Oh, my God. I see them.
Yeah, that's not a joke.
Lenses on cameras, binoculars, all of it.
Yeah.
They see it all. But I'm telling you, your disappearing method is because you think you're disappearing.
Right.
That's what it is.
Well, and that's what I am.
If you're comfortable out there, I'll go out there, you know, and I'll literally sit there, and if it's, man, you're
that's a whole nother show, too, this setup with the
your heart rate, all that shit, how comfortable you are. If you think you are invincible, you are invincible. It sounds it sounds crazy.
You had to feel like you were in
the
there.
The little engine who could.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's more mind than people think.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are getting cracked because they're not confident in their setup. They're getting panicked when deer come in. Mm-hmm. You have to be relaxed. You got to be chilling out. If you're freaking tweaking up there,
they sense that. Yeah.
I want to see you relaxed when there's a 160. You're like 5 feet off the ground, and the thing's looking at you at about 5 yards right in your face.
It's tough.
Everyone's gonna fall apart.
It'll light you up though.
It's tough, man. I actually missed a deer 2 years ago. Late season, I was 5 feet off the ground, and I was hunting a hill. So he came up over the rise and was actually looking down at me.
Oh, that's horrible.
And he comes, and he's looking, and I'm like, oh, shit, he sees me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm just sitting there, and he's looking in my soul, you know?
Yeah.
Well, realistically, he had no idea. He was looking through me, but I started getting all worked up, and I'm like, oh, shit, you know, why did I hunt so low? But he ended up coming in at 25, and I missed him. I don't know.
That would have been adult doe. Should have bagged you cold.
Well, no, there was those came out there. Was it?
You said you were falling apart, like what he just
yeah,
said.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know. But
yeah, you do not want to be in the line of eyesight of any deer. You want to be off to the sides, out of that cone.
But then you got
the trick.
You know, then you got it. You have to be conscious in situations like that. A lot of people ask me, like, okay, so I'm going to start hunting low, and I think the biggest thing that you have to look at is so many people don't have their process of coming to full draw and actually executing a shot locked down.
Yeah,
because you can get yourself to be still there. Because when you are hunting that low, you have to be still.
Yeah,
and when you're close quarters, and they're not really far away, you have to be stealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the head net comes into play and all that stuff. But if you don't know, if you can't make, if your bow is up here on a hanger. And you're not utilizing the in-cast bow holder or the in-platform.
Right there in front
of you. Or you don't have that on your lap, and that buck comes in at 15 yards. Or one thing I've noticed, if you're in that saddle platform and you're facing the tree and you got your one way to shoot over, I don't care what system you have, what harness you're wearing, what you're doing, you are not swinging that tree mm-hmm. and killing a 170-inch buck when he's in 20.
No.
I don't care. I don't care who you are. And you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you never fucking did it. So don't be a douchebag right now.
I'm just kidding.
You've never done it. You've never even hunted out of a saddle like that.
No.
So, it's just.
No, I am the master of being prepared, like
you said. It's very important to have that process.
Right. You practice in your mind all the scenarios that could happen. Make sure that you shoot to certain sides.
Right.
Prepared. Maybe your bow's in your hand already, on your knee. However you got to do it.
You're visualizing,
like, you said,
like,
when you're that low, you're not gonna, you know, hang on a second here, I gotta grab this.
No,
back
it doesn't
here,
happen,
you know?
That way. Yeah. So that's where I think a lot of people fail. But where I was getting at with this tangent, this rant that I was on, is just that think about that when you do this, because you know, so you can capitalize and get that deer shot. Think about littlest movement possible from when you see that deer, where you're gonna shoot him. Picking your bow up, drawing it, like, that's all got to be stealthy, and it's got to,
because
you can't make those big moves. It's not like he's out in the field 30 yards feeding, and you got
time to set up and watch him,
and that all depends on setup too. But everything changes. I'm just saying.
So
that,
let's talk about this head net thing. So he's experienced in it. He knows how to keep his eyes squinted,
mm-hmm.
not to look right down into the eyes of a deer. If you don't, you can get a simple shoot through mask. Get used to using it. You can even shoot through it if you want, or just leave it down when deer are there you don't want to shoot,
mm-hmm.
or there's a situation where there's a lot of them around you, and when it comes time to shoot, you can slip that thing up and get it out of there, but then you're not, you know, white face, eyeballs, something looking at you. You know, you've seen does look at you at 150 yards through the woods and just look right at you, so, and you can still get busted that way, but.
Right. I use a neck gator or whatever, and I use it pulled up, and then my beanie pulled down, and then it's up until I'm about to shoot. Like, I had my buck I shot last year, I was at full draw, and then pulled it down at full draw, mm-hmm. then shot him.
Oh, that's...
Which, it was kind of like, oh shit, I forgot to pull it down, but I was still able to pull it down at full draw.
I got it now, I can shoot right through it, so it's nice. You could leave it down the whole time if you're in a, you know, covered up and just...
Yeah. Yeah, I like mine, because I use a little brass knock as a kisser, and that just keeps me on anchor, especially if I'm mm-hmm. tilted down. So I'll yank it down real quick and then draw, and that's worked for me.
So should we talk about November now? What's going on? Or
I want to talk about your buck story.
We didn't get buck. Kurt killed next.
Oh, we got off on some tangent here.
Go ahead. Oh, did I kill before you?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, my buck's not as big as yours, so it doesn't count as much. But so anyway, yeah, I set up.
Let's.
Well, we talked about like hunting does,
mm-hmm.
and so what I did is I went to a spot where I knew does ran through, and it's basically where I hung my stand. It is a little lower. It's still four sticks, because I'm like the guy who always uses four sticks no matter what.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm going to try
to
reroute my brain.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just that's how I feel good in my setup.
And that's the mind thing.
Yeah.
There it is again.
Yep. So where I set up was, it was the edge of a pick bean field, and then there was a hay field that loops around and pinches tight to my right, and I know the does will run that edge. And there's a ravine there, and I have my trail cam there, so I got a couple pictures of this good 10 in there. So I went in, slipped in, threw the stand up. Right at daylight, the does were there, like I hoped, and spotted the does first, and then there he is. He's in there on a hot doe. And that doe had to have been hot, man, because there was another, like, mid-120s, eight, and then another, like, little, just, like, basket rack buck in there.
All hanging
and,
out.
Yeah, and it was...
And leaving. Yep.
Yeah, it was cool, because my buck was... I watched him for an hour, and I you know, he'd go down the ravine, I'd look at him through the binos, push that doe around, then another buck would get close, and then he'd ball up and, you know, snort wheeze him off and grunt, get, you know, push him off, and does came out, I'd draw back, and then the doe circles back around, runs back in the ravine. She just wasn't leaving that spot.
Yeah.
So I was like, eventually he's going to swing through here, and it just worked out how I hoped. I had trail cam pictures of him there. I knew does were there. And it just added up, like the November success story where that doe brought him right underneath me, and I drew back, and I see.
And for an hour, they must have covered a lot of terrain, too, while they're doing that. So
yep, yep. So she basically, I was prepared at this point. I was just ready watching them, and that doe comes up.
Just what she was supposed to do.
Yeah, it's almost like she was like, I'm going to run him by Kurt so I can get him off my ass, you know?
Yeah.
Because she came in, and and I'm looking down on him. And he's got good brows, you know, he's got 7-8 inch brows, and comes in right underneath me and buried the arrow into the fletching and hit the opposite shoulder and fell right there. So
awesome, man.
It's pretty cool. So yeah,
congrats.
I got the I was really pumped about it, man. It worked out how it was supposed to.
I know that you too, a couple days prior, you had a close call.
You could choke on something?
No, he didn't choke. I'm just saying, like, I know you were seeing some bucks, but they weren't in range, right? Or...
I saw that buck.
Was it that buck? Okay.
Yeah, which is how I knew to go do a hang and bang set in that area. But he wasn't in the exact spot, but I saw him make a scrape from, I was on another stand. He was 500 yards away. Like, I'm in my binos, he's small, but I could see his frame. Like, oh, that's a good 10, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's see if I can get in front of him. And that's what I did in the dark. I went in and packed everything in, threw it up in the dark. And, I shot this buck just a touch after 7 a.m., in the morning. So
that's rewarding to do that.
Oh, it felt so good.
I mean,
good.
That's a whole different game when you're doing that. I mean,
it felt just good. It just worked out. Like, sometimes,
stealthy.
Yeah, you just feel like you're like, dude, I do know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I just blabble bullshit on podcasts all the time. It's nice to, like, be like, I can kind of do this, you know? But it was cool because my dad was with me. Not with me, but in another stand. So he helped me, like, recover it and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Good 10. Real good 10. About 150 inches. So it's not a 204 inch, but I'm tickled to death with them, man.
A lot of 150s. They're all rewarding hunts, man.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I'm a redneck, man. It's hard for me to pass a 150. I'm like, oh, boy. Here we go. But, you know, I do have another buck tag, and I've passed 5 pretty damn good bucks. I was full drawing one yesterday and passed him, good 10. He had a broken G3 at the beam. But, you know, I went back to that spot because, you know, if that doe was hot in there still, and I think the same doe was in there the following weekend, and I had passed another good 10 and actually watched him breed her. Huh. And I've never seen that before, ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never watched a buck breed a doe. So, yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It was cool.
I mean, it's just it's a weird, you know,
it's just
cool thing to watch.
Stuff people don't see, you know, a lot. But we'll see, man. I'm trying to hold out for a big boy or something cool now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What do we got left a week before we're gone?
Right now, as
well, there's
this
gun season going on right now in Illinois.
Like, oh, that's right. You're in Illinois. Yeah, Iowa's another week, I think.
Yeah, first.
I think it's longer than that, isn't it? Isn't it like 2 weeks?
December.
I think it starts the first Saturday in December or something.
Anyway, I don't know.
Here's a tip for you guys, though.
15th or something.
You're hunting some nice bucks. You're all frustrated. Now it's payback time with a gun. Put the gun down. Leave it away. And next year you will have the hunt of your life if he's back and he makes it.
Yeah, that's a good tip. So. That's a good tip. Because, this weekend right now as we're recording, it's first firearm in Illinois.
Guys are going.
Thanksgiving's the break. And
payback
then,
time.
Well, we have so much standing corn in that because I bow hunted. Yesterday, because if you have a valid firearm permit in Illinois, you can now bow hunt if you wear your Blaze Orange, and
you have to buy a firearm tag.
Yeah, to buy a firearm tag. Okay. They just changed. They just made that like 3 or 4 years ago. They allowed you to do that.
But, but then a you know, and a non-resident firearm tag is
There you go.
Right, right.
It's a money deal.
Yeah. It is for 3 days the first season and 4 days the second season.
Yeah,
but it's
well, then you end up pushing them to the neighbors anyway. So I just I'd rather let them.
I know.
Let them come back. And
what I did, I had family Thanksgiving stuff. Like I'm like fairly relaxed right now, and I didn't want to go.
Get the pressure off.
I was gonna got the pressure off. Got time. I'm more in your guys' mindset, more Cody's mindset with. You know, I'm waiting for the late season patterns to kick in because now I know I can have a better chance of getting in front of something that I know is there.
Food.
But I hunted yesterday morning, then we had some family Thanksgiving stuff to do, but I was going to get down and move a camera and do all this stuff. I'm like, well, no, don't do any of that because
don't push him out of there.
You're going to help the guy on the neighboring property. And luckily for a lot of the deer herd this year in Illinois, there's a lot of standing corn still in.
Yep.
So I think next year is going to be a killer year because there's going to be a lot of deer that would have got blasted that are going to make it.
Right.
I've
seen that over the years. It's a fact. That corn's up there. A lot of them will make it. They don't get killed. Get some bigger class deer than next year.
Yeah, there's...
Yeah. Like imagine
ours
if,
is coming down right now.
Yeah.
I was up at 4 o'clock hauling wagons out, just trying to get it out. So.
Yeah, everybody's frantic right now.
Yeah.
But that's my buck story. I mean... Quick into the point.
Congratulations, man. That's one down.
Yeah.
One to go.
Felt good. It felt real good.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean.
And you pretty much followed up off the a week later or so, right?
Yeah. I can't, I don't know exactly when it was, but I remember,
we're already at the end of one.
Yeah. It's crazy how late it is. I had a really, really tough time in November this year. Just some stupid screw ups, but so I was kind of getting down in the dumps a little bit, and you know, I know we talked about like, you know, just hanging all the time, and then I start, you know, right at this pivotal time of, you know, and I was looking, I think the deer that I then had been hunting had left again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the next deer that I got on, you know, after the one was shot, then kind of lost sight of him, so I started kind of poke around, and then I even, Kurt, I think I sent you a video, like, hey, man, what do you think of this deer?
Yeah, the lone wolf,
yeah,
the undercover video of the buck walking through.
Yeah, yeah, and he kind of showed up. I mean, he's been around. It's a deer that's we've seen, but I think,
yeah,
I think November brought, like, he was getting squirrely. He wasn't here earlier, you know, just didn't really know of him, but.
Well, you sent me that video, and you're like, do you think I should go in after this deer? And I'm like, well, from my perspective,
when that other big one you were hunting left, he kind of moved in, kind of like the void gets filled with other bucks when they move off. So,
I think
we did.
So.
We had some nice bucks move in too that were.
Well, you showed me that video, and I replayed the video over and over just to see what the deer was, and it's a really cool like video clip. But I'm like, yeah, you got to go after that buck. It's a nice deer, man. A good 10 like that.
Well, and we I think the week prior I had that buck that I was after at 8 yards, and I told you that story about grabbing that I mean, all on video, he comes in and I grab the bow and I grab the drop away string for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So then I crank her back, you know, not knowing that it's like...
You had it in your hand?
I had it in my hand, dude.
I didn't know that part.
He's coming in. I got him. He's at 20. And he's coming in. I'm hunting over a scrape that's at 8 yards. I set up on this scrape in the timber, and I'm thinking like, oh, you are like, it's fine. Finally, you know, like fuck.
You're gonna get it. Yeah,
he's coming
out
in.
The position of the mouth already. I've been there.
I mean, I grabbed it and I'm waiting for my time, you know, because I'm low. I'm two sticks high. I hung the stand in the dark. It's in the morning. I just had this crazy harebrained idea because I'm just up in the air in November. I'll admit it. I'm thinking like, well, okay. There's a finger that jet out. I think I talked to Dad earlier in the day. I'm like, well, I got a good feeling something might run this finger down. Mm-hmm. Just so happened to be that buck. I'm not going to. And I'm like, oh, my God, no way. So I'm right there. I'm waiting for my time to draw, and I got the bow in my hand. And I come to draw, and I mean, I'm a fairly strong individual, so I didn't notice any extra tension on that thing.
Especially when that deer's right there.
And I'm just like, just freaking crank it back, and I hear like a... And I'm just, and then he stops and looks, and I'm like, oh shit, you know. So I'm anchoring, and then he looks back the other way, and I remember glancing down, like, what the fuck is going on? And I glanced down, and I seen I had slack in that cable, and I knew immediately what happened. But I'm like, oh, well, who cares?
Right?
Like, he's 8 yards, whatever. My rest isn't going to drop. Well, it didn't work out good for me. So because on video, I think I shot a foot under his
So you had a hold of the drop away rest string in your hand when you gripped your bow, and then
Here's a messed up thing too. For years, I put that string so high to avoid that. And everybody who shot bows is like, what are you doing, man? Like, that thing's got to be as low down your bus cable as you can possibly get it. And I'm like, well, why? Oh, well, that's how you need them. You slide it all the way down. So I'm like, whatever. So I had the shop do it this year. And I should have been watching it, but there's a lot of string on there.
Yeah.
And I just, I manhandled that string, and I didn't realize it was in there.
Oh, damn it, dude.
So I pulled the cable right through it. And anyway, he ran off, had no idea. But so I was down in the dumps a little bit. And I remember... thinking like, well, you know, I cut this track the week before, and I thought it was the deer I was hunting.
Mm-hmm. It's got a good track, that deer, too. Good size track.
Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm thinking like, okay, well, this is a good track. Like, maybe this is that deer, you know. So I followed it. I followed it like 3/4 of a mile through a fresh snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to get a look at that deer, you know. And I didn't end up getting a look at that deer, but he ended up going by that trail camera. And I pulled the video off it, and I'm like, oh, shit, like, what, like, there's a, it's, you know, it's a pretty good 10.
Yeah.
So then I, you know, I had an idea where he was at, and I the next evening, I was going into that area, and kind of, like, just moping around a little bit. There was a stand set in a little tight spot in between two woodlots that I was going to go jump in, and I was coming up the rise to go just sit in a permanent set, and I seen a doe out in the field, and I'm like, shit, they're out there already. I'm like, well, I'm just going to push them in, you know, whatever. And then right as I started walking, I seen a cage pop out of the timber and jet across the corner of the field, and I got the binos on him, and it was, and I'm like, oh my God, that thing is huge. I'm like, that's him. That's a big 10, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember I even called Dad, and I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, I just seen that 10 over there. I'm like, you know. And then I was going to go in and just jump in that stand, and I'm like, you know, then I started – my blood started getting better. I'm like, you know, no. I'm like, every time I've sat that stand in the past couple of years, it's just been there too long. Yeah. I think the deer know that it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
And now this stand is in the spot it needs to be, but it's just one of those. So I'm like, nope, screw it. And I didn't have my stand with me that time. So I drove back. I drove the four-wheeler back to my truck, got the setup, put it on my back, went about a quarter of a mile past this spot and did a big loop around just so nobody seen me or no deer seen me.
Yeah.
And then I came in and I slipped in and I probably set a stand like not 30 yards away from that stand that was there.
Yeah.
But it's a better spot now. It was a better spot to be. And I got 2 sticks high and I kind of settled in and I had a very, very eventful evening sit.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably one of the cooler November sits I've had. I was set up, and I was just hoping that buck would come back out. I knew there's a lot of does held up in this woodlot, but so an 8-pointer, an old big body 8-pointer, like a little flyer off his two, comes out into the field pushing a doe, and he starts mangling these trees on the. I mean, he is pissed.
He's got an attitude.
Oh, dude, he is pissed off. He runs off this little buck that's in the field. And he just works his way down this edge, and I think I filmed him for about 45 minutes.
Oh, shit.
One tree just mashed it, ripping the ground up, looked around in the field, like moved over to the next tree. And he worked down the edge for 45 minutes.
So that was the one that was doing that over there. That's
tearing everything up.
And that's a prime example of you can yeah. see that stuff, and you're like, oh, my God, it must be a giant. Well, this one wasn't a giant. He just had an attitude.
Just a brute.
Yeah, just an old, you know, a brute of a deer. But anyway, so I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, this noise, this commotion, everything, it's just awesome, you know.
It's a live decoy there, you know.
And then a couple does funnel in from behind me. And he crosses the field, comes over at about 15 yards, and I film him. And he starts pushing these does around, and he starts grunting, and he's really, really after these does hard. So I'm like, okay, it was just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, I see, you know, I look over my left shoulder and I see this 10 just trucking it across the field. Like, oh shit, I'm getting in on this.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's just trucking, and I'm like, oh man, like, you know, and he lays out perfect. He just looked awesome.
Yeah.
And he's running in, and he checks that deer so hard, and he's like, get out of here right the hell now. And that deer kind of postured up a second, and I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be a battle. Like, this is just going to be awesome, you know? And at this point in time, you know, I like to sit in my stand. I like to be set, you know, and have everything planned out. Well, there's no plan for this time of year. Mm-hmm. This 10 is literally standing right behind me at 4 yards.
Oh, shit.
Behind the tree.
Right.
Behind the tree, and then the 8 is in front of me, and the does are pinned down. They're all tinkering on the board.
Well, remember,
my
he's about 8 feet off the ground, too.
Right,
so.
Which is even more in the mix of
shit. And my wind is going, and I'm like this, and I got my camera, and I got my bow, and I'm ready to shoot, but I can't hit him. And I'm like, and just the way my November's going, I'm like, this sucker is so close to me, and he is going to bail off this way. And I'm like, and I'm just sitting there. So anyway, so then these does are getting a little swirly. He pushes them around. This 8-pointer knows his distance. He actually breeds one of these does. And they never fought, but that 8 recognized his place and kind of stayed out. And I'm thinking like, and I've had it happen too, where I was in November, I've had a tank breed a doe 25 yards from me in the timber. And then after they were done with their business, she walks by me, and he turns around and freaking walks. It's literally happened. And I'm thinking to myself, like,
got bad luck.
I'm like, man, I'm like, it's going to happen again. He's going to leave now that he's done.
Yeah.
Well, there was three other does, and then he kind of kicks her aside and starts pushing the other ones, and she squirts right out. The 8 is almost like a blocker for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she runs back the other angle. He comes right around the tree and gives me a 12-yard shot. And I buried it over one shoulder, and then the next one too, and he just dropped. Like,
bro,
like
right
you shot
there,
him in the neck with a gun.
No shit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just – I mean, he was completely – and it wasn't a spine shot. It was like, you know, I think through like
that – I
think
that, you hit that nerve and nerve through that chest.
Because I was so close to him, and it went right through like the top, straight through in the other, and he just was like
– stiffed up and rolled him up.
Spine kind of drops down there.
That's awesome.
I mean, so – and then he dropped right there. And then another thing, too, I wanted to plug. I mean, obviously, so with Dad's kill, this kill, a lot of the other staff members, too, you know, we're getting all these videos, all these full stories of these hunts will be on Whitetail Addictions on our YouTube page, on the Lone Wolf Custom Gear YouTube page. So if you ever were into Whitetail Addictions before years ago and liked the show, you can find it again. It's on our YouTube page. And if you're new to it, it's just, you know, our staff, guys who have, you know, always been members, who are getting it done, who are
average Joes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Living in different walks of life. It's a pretty cool show to watch. So, but yeah, that's that was him, and he was down. And now I'm just I'm hoping that, like you said, late season, I'm hoping that deer that.
Those deer will be back. They just. They disappear.
Yeah, I'm hoping
for 2 or 3 weeks, and they'll be back.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. As much as I do love the rut hunting, like, I'm excited to use this setup to get in front of a deer that, you know, because that's part of the fun of it, too, is, like, the build-up to the moment. So if you can find one, work on getting in front of them, you know, and then make it happen. It's, like, really cool. But, I mean, kind of like what my hunt was, but...
Yeah, you did it. Yeah, that was it right there in a nutshell.
But I guess it just feels more like classic, like late season.
Yeah.
Find where he's coming out to feed, move in, get after it.
Yeah, and
set up clean and
and that's kind of like, I mean, you know, coming off of that, you know, we can transition into some, you know, I mean, right now it's late November. We can talk about
some
tactics.
So I still got a week. So
yep,
a week.
Yep.
Of before gun comes in.
Just right.
Up here, so.
So you cannot bow hunt during that?
No bow hunting during gun season. Now, late season muzzleloader you can
then
bow
hunt. Yeah, bow doesn't open back up till I think the 21st.
It's a long break.
It's a big break.
But the nice thing is your guys' gun season's not in the rut.
No. I mean, it's... Well, but here's
not far off.
Here's the worst part, though. Iowa, you know, the ag capital, it's almost just as bad because, like, even like, you know, late season, and I mean, if you got if you got food,
right? Yeah,
I don't know. It's my
perspective is a little different because after the first firearm season in Illinois, it's only 3 days the first season, but it gets hammered so hard that the deer hunting just changes. So late, especially after the second firearm season comes in, it really changes things for like guys that hunt average ground like myself. It's like those deer have just been. pounded down to death,
yeah,
that a lot of them aren't going to be messing around until like right before dark. You know, they've just been so pressured. And
yeah, and then when that cold comes in, then they almost got to get up. And
yeah, you just hope that they're not pressured to death that hard. Where I guess for Iowa would be, and there's probably a ton of people that are going to disagree with this or not, but it's like they haven't been pressured as hard as like Illinois deer have. So then they're coming out to feed. And that might have been where you were going. They're more predictable for your guys' gun
well,
season. Well,
I know a lot of giants die in Iowa every year, you know, from ground blinds with muzzleloaders late year because these deer have no – they have no choice. Like, it gets frigid, and they're coming out to these food sources, and it's – and, you know, guys reach out and touch them with the muzzleloaders, and it's a little harder to get on them with the bow, but
– yeah.
But I know that that's a detrimental time.
You got to stay low at that time for sure.
I'm going to try that, man. I'm going to try and find...
The later in season, the lower you got. I mean, you just got it.
I'm going to go for that, I think. I'm going to find, ideally, find a nice pine or a cedar to tuck in real low. One that's just warm for you to sit in. And then that's how I'll probably start my low hunting comfort zone. That
well,
I get that confidence built
I just
up.
Go find a little tree like this out in the middle of nowhere with no other trees and just... get in that thing at about 5 feet.
Mm-hmm. You just see what happens, huh?
Standing out there like,
fuck you, Andre.
There's, like, there's a pine right
I'm
there.
Like, where, I'm like, where's he going with this? I'm like, just get it.
I'm going to tell you, man.
Just test here. Just
that
test
deer was not going to look at you like, nah, ain't nobody that dumb to be out here. So
yeah, well, like, I mean, obviously, you probably
can't be.
No. I don't know.
That can't be, Kurt.
That I don't know. That's kind of fun, though, like trying new things.
They don't know. I'm telling you. They don't have a clue.
Until you...
Here's one thing you're sure of. They've never been ambushed out of that spot ever before.
Right. That's
and
a good point.
And you got a five-year-old buck that's maybe been ambushed a few times, you know?
I feel like a little more cover, maybe, but I don't know. It's cool. I think that hearing your story and how you guys are saying you don't have to be up that high is going to change a lot of perspectives people in the woods looking at. Like, I've always wanted to sit there, but I feel like it's too low where it's... Oh shit!
And
work.
The cover's good, but if you got your game plan down and you can tough it out, you don't really need the cover.
Yeah.
You really don't need
height,
it.
Height for me is more about scent control. If you got to bring it up an hour and a morning post or something,
For sure.
Yeah, or
and
like
especially in the evening, the lower you go, better your scent's traveling less with everything dropping.
Yeah.
So
Or I mean, now bottoms is a tough. I mean, I would
stick to the mornings on the bottoms.
And I hardly ever like I won't hunt that low just in a bottom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hell, there's a spot not far from where I shot my deer that it's kind of it's on like a hillside, but there's a ravine and a low spot down that kind of lends down to like a little like a CRP field type setup. And I got in it the other day with my wind checker. And it was like one time it'd be this way, one time it'd be that way, one time it's going straight up, one time it's going straight down, and I got down. I'm like, there's no way
that's horrible.
Any deer is going to feel comfortable. Because I think that's what makes – if you ever have a spot where the deer just get nervous, it's probably because they're catching small little wafts
little
of
bit,
you, and then they're like, what the hell is that? So I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
A lot of times you'll see them even cool out, and then they'll get weird, like because it's every – anytime
like
that
a
wind,
nice big 5 mile an hour draft coming, just pulling your scent right up.
Keeps
and out.
You consistent in one spot.
It's funny too because so the spot that I even was hunting where I killed that buck,
that's a tough spot.
It is a very tough spot.
Now I know it's not so tough where you were at, but
that's what I'm saying.
That original stand. Well, here's what happens. That
I was just about
the
to
winds
get into
in
that.
The right. Okay, winds in the right direction. I'm gonna take over here, and all of a sudden,
my
show,
Cody.
The evening post. The bottoms are filling up, and once they fill up with all that air, they start spilling over and spilling back, and you'll just get,
it's
at prime
draft.
Time, a draft that'll just come up and out of roll, and them damn deer just get you there.
It's right, the worst, and that was one of the biggest things I left out of the story. You know, not only is that spot been there, and it's just kind of your skyline and whatever, but there is, you would never think it in a million years, or at least I would never until I've been in there and felt that gust on my neck, and I'm
weird.
Like, what the?
Yeah,
And you'll have a solid like northwest wind, like, and it, you're thinking, and you're high, you're on the top,
one
you're not
spillover.
It's just, it's so weird because like there's some sort of wave effect, but I don't know. I never that one.
Yeah.
So, but to that point, knowing that and just moving over that little bit to where I don't think that that spillover,
you're more right at the peak of that little,
yeah,
draw
that
there.
Spillover stops somewhere. So yeah, now that I, you know, found that spot, and it was actually almost, I think, helping, because maybe there was that spill and there was like a, on the other side, there'd be like more of a suction, but yeah. I don't know. It's just weird because the wind and the thermals do such crazy things that people don't
even realize it, yeah.
I think.
Where I shot my buck is kind of cool because behind me, the wind I had set up for them, behind me there's a pond, and it's the way the pond is shaped, it kind of, it starts at a, I'm at the point of it, and then it goes in, it widens between the hay field and that pick bean field, and so no deer, where my wind was going, no deer could get my wind,
yeah,
and
yeah,
which, it worked out great,
yeah,
for
you
me, you know.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, because where I did shoot him, like, he's coming into the wind, but I'm slivered up on that pond,
right.
So my wind's cutting right over the pond. It just worked out, man. It's one of those times where you just, you have a game plan, you think it's right, and then it was right. And
comes together.
It worked out.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So late season, or not late season, but late November.
Yeah.
Like now.
Now.
Yep.
Okay, so, well, right now would now be late? Yeah, now would be late.
Well, it's late November. Late November, getting into that first week of December here.
Okay. All right, yeah. So what, you can kick it off.
So what I'm, since I'm still hunting a little bit here, but what I'm finding now is there's a layup period that after the rut, these big deer,
mm-hmm,
they're going to go just hunker down for 3-4 days and not move.
Yeah.
I kind of think we're in it right now.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I should.
Is there any way
I can show you a rub?
I didn't mean to sound sarcastic. Is that like a. Oh, sweet. Is that like a recovery period?
Yeah.
Like
so,
they're exhausted. They're like, man, I gotta.
So I'll tell you, over the years, Wisconsin used to be closed the week before gun season. The week before gun season is the.
Ball hunting?
Yeah, they would close, the bow would end, and then they give you a rest period before gun season.
Oh, no shit.
Then they opened it up, and we found that that was the best week for the peak rut, where chaos. If you were in the woods for that week, it'd be equal to your whole season for, like, where we hunted.
Yeah.
And then gun season would hit, and it'd be just, boom, nothing. Horrible hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Where just a couple days, every bucks are running all over hell, so... I think they rest up a little bit, then they recoup, and then they get back up and start moving. And we used to be able to hunt baits back then, so you could really monitor that happening. You know, you wouldn't see those deer at all. So I think that's happening here right now. And the does, for some reason, we don't have pressure. There's no gun season going on. There's probably not a lot of hunters around. We got some neighbors in that, but they are on needles and pins for some reason, and I don't know what it is.
See, I think in general this year they've just been
wiring.
Alan said he experienced the same thing I did. He says, I cannot believe how these things are cracking and they're blowing and they're. I'm covered up. I'm in a tree with five limbs that go all different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know if I move my hand or what the heck it is, and that doe just, and all of a sudden she blew, and then it's just carrying on. So it's a weird time, you know.
It's fun. Well, I don't even know if you think that's just to this point in time, or this year in general.
Yeah, this year. Normally, I don't really experience that. Do we up to that gun? It usually goes in the gun.
I personally haven't.
Well, see, so I think. I mean, I was on post. Now I'm quite a ways away from here, but I was on post 2 days ago, and I watched a mature buck breed a doe. And I passed on 140-inch, you know, young, whatever. I mean, like, they were running hard. So I don't know if they're – maybe it's obviously different from where you are. But I think right now they're definitely cooling down. Because I've been seeing a lot more basic feeding. It hasn't
I think
been.
I bumped him out of where he was going to hang for that 4 days. And he left this behind for me. He's basically saying, screw you, asshole. I'm still here.
Is that close enough?
Not
nowhere
really.
Near. All right. Okay. We got to do it.
And you're in my house.
This could be an overlay.
There you go. Up a little bit.
Up. Right?
Nope. That is screaming black.
Hold on. Let me get it.
You can put it on the.
There you go.
We're going to overlay this too, but just so you can see it, that's a little rub.
Man, that looks so good. I don't even know if we'll have to overlay.
That's a frick you rub, is what that is.
Yeah.
I think he's letting me know something. So that was not there the week earlier.
Jeez,
so,
man.
So excited about that!
That's
he's
a
still
miniature
there.
Bow, by the way.
Yeah, that's a toy bow.
It's a youth.
That's
youth bow. Even if it was a youth bow, it's pretty good, Rob.
Yeah,
that's true.
So that's what's going on now.
Do you think so? That it's kind of like their rest down period. So basically, we're coming into the first week of December, real hot.
Yeah, they're going to start. They're going to get up now. Start hitting these food plots, I think. And I was going to do tonight if we get out of here is get on it just to start
Do you think there's going to be another?
What's your opinion on those late roamers? Everybody always talks about those Thanksgiving being the magical time for these giant bucks to be late roaming.
I've killed some deer at this time, deer too. It's been a funny year.
Well, that's what I'm getting. So we're talking in general now for people hunting. What is your? Do you think saying that they're locked up really isn't giving the listeners anything?
They're not locked up at a doe. They're resting up. So. My game plan now, and I'm switching on over too, is I'm going to food sources right now. Food. Really? And then there will be some, your ones that got missed and your yearlings coming in around Christmas time. So there'll be a little of that rut action, but pretty much
it's not like November rut like some people make it out to be.
And some of these younger – go ahead.
No, yeah. You.
Some of these younger bucks coming in will still be acting a little bit, still be snuffing around, chasing does and stuff. But I'm gonna change up, and I'm gonna start hitting these food plots.
Percentage wise, that the more you have better odds going for food.
We got corn that's coming down now, so now we can see where we're all coming out to feed.
Okay, so I do want to bring that up because normally on a normal season, normal year, crops have been out for a few weeks at this point, and the majority I feel of standing corn in most guys' areas in the Midwest is still in.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I hunt, the corn's still in, which is like. That's going to hopefully make for bigger deer next year surviving the gun season. Do you think that the late season hunting will be better this year because the crop got out later?
If they cut that corn late season, it's going to be a bloodbath.
That's what I thought, too.
It's just big bait piles everywhere for all these deer to come out.
And if you run in a case combine, all your losses are going to be.
I was just looking at that. Man, I don't even know why I'm leaving a food plot in. This whole property's a food plot right now. There's corn laying all over the place. So.
I mean,
you fix that header shell problem you got there, buddy?
I was talking to.
If it was a deer, I might be able to help you out. But
I was talking to Stash Doug, about that, too. I'm thinking, man, if the best thing that would happen right now, worse for the farmers, but if these crops got locked up till spring, many deer would just flourish and live. But
I hope it kind of. I mean, I don't want to put any farmers out on any money, but
at the same
time. If I wanted to concentrate them, I would go disc all my cut stuff right now and get all that.
Oh, yeah.
And just leave the food plot standing, but I like to have. I want these deer to be,
plow it all.
not leave them nothing but the standing corn, or a green field, So
I think it can help and hurt, but.
I guess you just don't
want them fields getting cut when everybody's out there with guns just planting.
You don't. But what I mean, I was joking about the loss thing because everybody has some percentage of loss, no matter what combine you run. it's the red. But it's
you should see the beans out here. Left probably 10 bushel an acre on that. They just didn't cut low enough. And
oh, really?
It's just a nightmare. So
well, that like picking that later and that crop's on the ground. Whereas if it was picked 3 weeks ago, and this is, I might be full of shit, but I feel like the deer maybe eat more of that crop that's on the ground, and then now it's fresher.
Oh.
So it's going to make for your better, even on the cut fields.
Yeah, it's easy.
I don't know if that makes sense.
A deer loves, they like to eat kernel at a time instead of chewing off the cob, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I think late season's going to be fun this year because of the crop circumstance in general. I think it's going to make for some good hunt.
It made early pretty wild, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general you can't go wrong. I think the best November hunting that I've had would probably be around Thanksgiving, just because I feel like maybe it's like to what you were saying, it's right after this sort of resting period, but a buck is just getting out there and wanting to get something in his stomach. He's been running hard. He's been
There's still an opportunity to breed if he finds it.
I think I've seen some good ones come out. They're hitting food sources regularly. I think they got their wits about them, and if something's ready, they'll go after it. But I think in general, they're getting sort of gravitating back to a pattern.
I think in a rut, they don't eat a lot, so I think it takes a little bit of a time to get back in the motion.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be out hunting for a Black Friday special on a buck on Black Friday. I'm really gonna go after it,
Boom.
We'll see if they got discounted rates on 170s or something somewhere. I mean, it's a free day off for the working class guy.
Yeah.
My wife and all the girls are going to be out doing shopping stuff, and I'm going to be buck shopping. So that's honestly a good time.
You'd be in the same farm that you shot the one on?
That's my plan. Yep. Right. I'm going to go out there and try and get in front of another buck. I think that can be an overlooked day for a lot of working class people for hunting. If your wife and kids are – husband and kids or whoever you are, it's a good time to get out there. Just because it's, a holiday weekend you want to watch fucking football, I think you should be probably hunting instead if you haven't got a buck down or if that's like where you put your goals. It's a
it's still an awesome time.
It's an awesome time, yeah.
Any day, every day.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, free time off for a lot of a lot of guys too. And so, well, I think I can tell by how quiet Cody got that he wants to wrap this episode up. He said what he needs to say.
we can keep going, like, man.
I think we talk enough about this time a year? Or I guess it's...
We really didn't talk any about this time of year. But
you guys got into some tangents.
You're the one. Hey, let's talk about late November tactics.
Well, I think they're
I think they're held up, period.
Make sure that you guys get it. Well, it's about it right now for me.
It's pointless going out.
And when they are... Here's a tip. When they are held up and they ain't moving, go bump them up and get them on their feet and get them moving.
Yeah, go bump them. Go bump them to the gun hunters who are on the neighboring property.
Yep,
and
that's a week away,
and that'll be good.
Okay, so I guess there's really not a ton to cover right now besides some of that. So if there is something you want to go into detail on, we sure can.
No, like I said, I would just think.
Are we all on record that we hate the rut, or I do? How about you?
I don't hate it.
I absolutely hate this time of year.
I don't hate it. I enjoy.
There's just no pattern right now.
I enjoy the randomness.
Yeah.
Like going back, like I think we might have said in the last episode.
This
like
is coming from a guy who got some randomness and I don't, he's got a 204 incher. <right?
laughs> My random 200 incher. Gross.
No. I agree. I would say that, man, it sucks because there's just I don't know. Yeah.
You guys want to ninja.
I want to all you deer out there, come home.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come home.
I get why you guys hate it. I completely understand it, but I like the chaos is nice between early season and late season. It's kind of
fun. This year though, I really didn't even like the chaos.
I had a couple. Well, I've just been depressed because of the
experience. When the big moved in, all really tiny stuff, or when they moved out, the really tiny stuff moved in. It was kind of horrible.
I've been seeing more.
I got a quick little anecdote. In the woodlot the other day. So everybody's heard a buck tend to doe, right?
Mm-hmm.
That constant. Constant. So it's foggy out. I'm in the woodlot. You know how, they don't know how, but this woodlot is wide open. You can see through the whole thing.
It's open hardwoods, yeah.
So
mature.
I hear this buck tending a doe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying like.
Let me guess. It's a doe.
No.
Oh.
No, it was a buck. But this went on, and I've never heard this ever before, for an hour and a half straight, that deer had that low groan, and then occasionally it'll go, and like push her a little bit.
Yeah.
And I could hear this, and I'm like, it's so close, like I have to be able to see this. So I'm looking, and it's all over the woodlot, and it's going further away and then closer, and then finally I get a glimpse of the doe come out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear a couple of little snort wheezes, so now it's like, I'm thinking,
and
now I got it in my mind, right?
Yeah.
300-inch buck with some sub-170s around. And
300.
So this doe, she finally shows, and then I finally get a glimpse of this worthless 9-point that I just wanted to kill just for keeping me in suspense that long. But he was with her, tending her. Matter of fact, I got a little footage once I could see him, and he was breeding her, so there was a doe in heat. And I cannot believe that another buck from somewhere
didn't hear it or something.
Well, that tells
like that.
That tells me there was no other big deer in the area.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like I just dumped that woodlot and went and
okay. So let me
side property.
Speaking of that, like when I shot the morning I shot my buck, the way my buck acted, he acted like he was the biggest shit around. Like pushed off the other deer with snort wheezing and all that. In my head,
that's not good.
I was thinking like he's the biggest deer for a while in this area because of how just aggressive and in your face he was to the other deer. And so I thought
Illinois. I don't think so.
Well, in that area,
he thought he was. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, probably.
Because I would think if there was a bigger buck that was a little more mature and maybe had 20 inches on him, would he not have done that?
See, here's
same
the thing.
Oh, you mean come
here's
over.
The thing. Here's the thing.
They don't
deer don't know how big their racks are.
Right.
It's all temperament.
Yeah, it's temperament.
Age class.
There are little fucking sawed off guys like myself who are I mean, just like
Napoleon complex.
Like, you know, just hellfire type people.
Would have been like that 8-point you talked about, well, shredding everything up.
It's like, you know.
You had one with blood on the tines come out this year.
Oh, man, that deer. So, I seen, he's actually a deer that I passed up. He's a really cool, super heavy old deer, wide, big brows.
Yeah.
and short tying, like kind of, but heavy.
Set of brows walking through the woods.
Yeah, really? Yeah. So, actually, I got a picture of that sucker, too. Maybe we can do a little close-up on there.
Yeah, do the old school overlay. We don't have to touch this footage in post.
Anyway, so I'm getting out of the woods, and I'm actually driving in the vehicle in my Jeep, and I come across this bottom, and I look over, and I see one. Zombie walking,
yeah,
and I'm like, yeah. Oh my god, it's happening!
You can walk up to it and stab it,
yeah, like so, full rut, just
yeah. He was, it was like complete Walking Dead type. So I got the binox on him. I'm like, oh, it's a good buck. So, and then I was like, oh, it's that buck, and I was gonna pull my camera out and get some footage. So I parked in a little pull off, pulled the Jeep in. That sucker seen the Jeep pull in, and was like. And got, like, pissed and started coming at the started walking toward the Jeep, like, just, like this. Like, and I got the binos on him, and he's all, his rack is all red. It's all covered in blood.
Oh, no shit.
So that sucker.
Gory, eh?
I mean, he just.
Somebody's ass. And,
oh, yeah. And I'll try and get you that footage so we can overlay it. Yeah, he just wrecked something. I mean, he just.
Think he killed another buck?
It gored something for sure. I mean.
Running him off and hit him right in the ass.
I don't know.
Now, there's a buck who was kingpin on that occasion.
But that right there. But
I guess if his brows are that big, he's probably got
that. Yeah, but believe me, there's a lot of other bucks that kick that buck's ass.
Oh,
yeah.
But that's the thing. Everybody's been in a bar, and there's that loudmouth, right?
Yeah, right. So
and
shot the loudmouth, well, not the kingpin.
The
little cocky guy.
And as soon as somebody comes in, that guy's still a loudmouth. He gets his ass kicked, and he just don't learn. So
that
happens a lot, I think, in the timber.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that
I've seen more huge deer that I wanted to shoot that I would think like, oh my god, is that thing a bull? He's got to be running this
docile place.
And that deer just tucks tail and like moves over for the smallest.
Let's
little
other deer push him off. Yeah,
I don't know. So I think that is completely.
That's a good point. Because in my head, like watching it go down, I'm like, well, I don't know if there's a bigger deer.
He was feeling his dominant. He was a nice buck. I mean, that's all it counts.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not taking away from him by
any
means.
But you're just saying, does that allude to like, oh shit, there's nothing else here? Maybe nothing hurt it, or even like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, I think typically though, if there was a contender,
he
would have at least came and check it out. Even if he wasn't I don't know.
Some of them really big deer, they don't. I mean,
well, it was interesting because when I shot,
it's like he's nothing to them.
Right.
When that dog comes time where if he was around,
he's
gonna go let a runner to a trough, and he'll go grab her.
It was cool because when I shot him though, he died, but then.
So
50 yards, and there was that other buck that he kept pushing off that would like not get near his body. Like he was within 15 yards of the dead
that's
body of my buck,
that's
and he was like nervous as shit. So I'm like, oh, that's
I thought maybe he was now he can come kicked him or something.
He still didn't have the stones to do it, which is just cool to watch.
Well, that's interesting too. That's so cool. The other night, I seen these two bucks in the field. When I seen that older buck breed the doe, The younger one, that 2.5-year-old, probably upper 40s with the – or what, whatever, 140, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But just really good genetics. He was in the field right next to the doe in this older buck, and they were feeding like nothing was going on. They were feeding like normal pattern deer for about 45 to 50 minutes. And there was a couple other small bucks that came in there. There was other does in there. And it was like in the flip of a switch, that deer then started to get about 40, 50 yards away. He all of a sudden then, this doe was finally ready, and this older buck started to try and breed her and push her around a couple times. And then that younger one, like, just even tried to come a couple steps at that point, and he was like, he lifted his head up, and that buck ran so fast and so far away and didn't even touch him. And then he actually bred her like 20 minutes later, right out in the open field. And I think it was just a fact of, like, he didn't give a shit. He was letting that younger deer push her around as much as he wanted to because he knew as soon as it was time that, you know.
Right, so. For sure. Well, cool. I mean, I think it's time to wrap up. We covered quite a bit of good stuff. We all killed, so we all proved we kind of know what's going on.
Remember, remind them again about the specials we got going. Get to the website. Sign up for YouTube. You know, I'm becoming a salesman now, right?
Tell him, Cody.
hey,
we're spending a lot of time. Guys are getting a lot of video. We want these things to be watched. So, and there's some good. What do we got? Three or four 200 inches too now in video?
Chandler got a 170 plus.
There's some good deer in there. And don't get me wrong, some of these deer that aren't scoring a lot. They got some phenomenal hunts. Brad came out here, shot. He's at his best year yet. He's got his biggest one with a bow. And he just sent me a picture. He just shot one gun season in Wisconsin now. Probably his biggest gun kill. So
cool.
No, yeah. Yeah. So,
guys, they're having a ball, man. Or
if you're looking for
successful.
Hey, I have one quick question for you, Andre, that I think will lead into a really good story on an upcoming podcast. So if it's a true thing, it's going to be really cool to look into that. But if it's a false comment or a false rumor I heard, then it'll be just dumb and you can crush it right now, and then we won't do it later. So we had a couple people message me, hey, next time you're on the podcast, ask Andre. I heard a story that he went in one night and stayed the night in his stand overnight to kill a buck the next day.
Yep.
And they asked if that was true or not.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, so that's a story that we can tell hopefully on a podcast here in the future, because that seems insane. And I know there's a lot of guys.
I thought it was the same, but you know what? Over the years now, and matter of fact, I just talked to one of our new pro staff guys. A lot of the guys have done the same. They're as crazy as I was back then. Some of these guys are even crazier, so they're...
That's awesome. Well, I don't want to go too into detail on that. I think that's a really fun story to tell at another time. So we'll just leave that big cliffhanger there, because I think that's awesome. I'd have to ratchet strap my body up so I could sleep in the tree.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's all I got. I just wanted to ask that for an upcoming episode.
Okay. That's a good tail off, I guess.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's go. Well, you guys ain't going to do anything, but I still have a tag. I'm going hunting tonight.
Yeah, fucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to be after it, man.
Maybe I can get a crack at the buck that you cost me last podcast. Maybe he'll come back.
You killed that buck the next day. So you will. You will kill, because this is a good luck podcast.
No, I know it's going to happen. He's going to get back in the game, and he's going to kill it. And I'm going to have to just sit and visit it at his house every time.
Yeah. Get custody on it or something like that.
All right, man.
We good?
Hunt like a wolf.
Can I get on Thursdays?
All right, I can feel we need to close out. Right. You got any adding comments?
I still haven't. Yeah, so that's been an occurring thing. I still haven't figured out a good closer, man. So until next time.
Hunt like a wolf.
Yeah.
I'm not going to howl like a wolf.
Work for it. Yeah, you're supposed to start howling.
I should get it down.
He'll sound like a little dog.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.